9:25. Give me a count around, Joel.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Pack Show!
Who's the best show here? Pack
Show!
Alright,
that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
Bingo! Showtime!
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a Little Thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the show link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IC channels at LinuxTech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 925 of Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy October.
We have Joel.
Hello?
Joel, not Joe.
Uh-huh.
You like extended it out, and I was wondering which one you were saying there for a minute.
Same.
So was I.
But welcome and good evening.
And Joe.
I'm here.
Yeah, I guess maybe Manfry might show up again today.
That'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I want to give a heads up that last week, after all my excitement of thinking my problem at work was over, boy, did it come back in spades the next day. I'll tell you that.
Oh, it's usually the way it is.
Oh my goodness. I look back in the logs and I'm like, what? I'm like, this is the first time we had a 20-minute unacknowledged message. So that's two timeouts for those people who are not listening or who I don't recall. So what was interesting is this, the 20-minute one wasn't related to this, but, we had also enhanced some of the logging stuff. And in the process of doing that, we had actually introduced a bug in one of the functions, which produced legitimate errors, which showed us how the whole thing would behave with actual errors, and how we can compare between the two, and then the standing operating procedure. So once we had the thing in there with the errors, it actually had a 9-hour unacknowledged message, but we could see why that was and what was going on. And it predicted exactly how, I'm sorry, it behaved exactly how we predicted it would, that, it would push the message, and because we had retries on, it would continuously retry. So every 10 minutes, because it was not receiving that acknowledgement, would push the message again. And so you could see as over time that multiple functions were running simultaneously and failing on that single message. Interesting. It was interesting. We got everything fixed, and now we are back to that same problem again, trying to deduce that with support. And every time that they send me information and why they think this is happening, I look at it and I'm like, you're saying one thing, we're seeing something different, and your documentation is not matching either of these things. Oh, you know, and based upon your documentation, this is what I think is happening, which explains everything, but you're telling me that's not the case, and what you're telling me doesn't explain anything. It leaves more questions than explanation. So hopefully I did another deep dive again today, sending them more, concrete examples once again, and saying clearly and succinctly, here are the two problems we have seen. This is what we expect to come away with this ticket information that we come away with this ticket for. This is what we want. And it's simple. It's simple. We just want why is this happening, so that we can adjust our alerting, so it's not triggering in the middle of the night for somebody for no reason at all, and we could adhere to their published best practices so we don't run a function continuously forever when we should be exiting out of it. So anyway, still going over a month on this. It's frustrating, but not as frustrating as Joel losing his access to Facebook on Monday. Monday was it?
Oh, no, not really. No, it's actually really a good technical topic to talk about. It was a problem with their border gateway protocol settings, and apparently they made a change, and that made their DNS unavailable, which means they went away. And really, now a lot of people act like it's Facebook and like Instagram, which that was down too, and all their other properties, but some who decided to use Facebook for their WhatsApp was gone too. But if you also would be down if you couldn't log into something if you used Facebook as your SSL, you know, which a lot of websites will allow you to use that. So you couldn't log into those either. So it was a fairly big deal, but not for me.
So they say that there was like 70 million new Twitter users.
Yeah, I guess Twitter started to die under the crunch too. Well, it didn't. I actually never had a problem with Twitter at all, but they did see increased load. So
70 million new users in one day will do that.
Yeah.
You know what was one of the things that was surprising to me about it was that we had from one of our providers experienced BGP.
Oh, you got it? Oh, really? Oh.
Issue a couple weeks ago. So it's I find it interesting that in the past year I have known and experienced this problem happening with multiple different companies, and I'm like, I don't remember it, at least anecdotally for me, I don't remember it happening to this level.
Well, actually, I think it's happened to Facebook twice this year.
I don't know about the first time. I don't recall the first time. But I'm trying to think. I know that there was a Fastly outage a couple months ago, and I thought something had happened with BGP, but it could have just been I thought it was BGP related.
There was an AWS outage a few weeks ago too.
Was that related to BGP?
I don't know. I actually don't know much on that. We had some hosts, our hosts never went down. They just became inaccessible. So that could be it. I'm not 100% sure though, if it was a problem with Route 53 or not, but you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, maybe that cloud has got to make you think, you know, especially if, you know, cause one thing that, that I see is some of our clients assume that, well, it's just, you're just paying the host colleague in the cloud. I'm like, well, that's not what we sell. We sell, the service where we take care of it for you. So you don't have to worry about some of the things you're worrying about is what I want to tell the clients sometimes. They do, you know, that we'll get on, like today I got on a call and they were asking, well, how often are you backing our system up and things like that? And we're like, in, you know, what my area's allowed to say is you have to look at the DR, SSC report. So there's an SSC report that we do a test going from, US West to US East pretty much every year. And that, in that report, it'll tell you how long it'll take to do that if there's a failure in US East. But then again, I don't think I've ever had US East completely fail in and of itself where we had servers go hard down. Now we have had issues like not that long ago, there was a non-prod system that, whatever hardware it was running on in AWS had a hardware power issue. So our instance rebooted. So, and I'm trying to think if that was on, that probably wasn't on a completely dedicated host, but, you know, cause most of our clients have one or two dedicated hosts where we have everything subdivided in the different, instances. So, but, you know, that's, you know, that's one example. Another example is, you know, is a lot of people think, at least with us, selling services in the cloud, that you don't have, like, that IT on campus or wherever you're at, doesn't have anything to do. And that's actually not true either. You would have at least one or two people that would do technical things on your systems that we host. But, you know, some of the things like that you can't get access to, like shell prompt, you know, those are things that we have to take care of for them. So, and, the other thing too is that we have to really have to embrace automation, because when we have, you know, 51 clients and we're adding more, in the next year, if we don't, we're gonna die under the crush. So, that's another thing that our clients need to realize, is that, you know, we're ramping up, automation, so that we have less touch on your system. I don't have a time to spend 3 hours on your system today. I have three other clients that need me to do stuff for them too. So there's that, where that goes. That was kind of my day to day a little bit with that, but
I wanted to add in there. It wasn't Fastly did not have a BGP issue. It was a configuration issue. So, and that impacted a lot of people. Were any of you impacted by the other big issue that happened this week?
What was that?
There was a huge one. On September 30th, Let's Encrypt's DST root CA X3 X certificate expired. And
nope.
That was huge. The impact that has. We had some problems at work. They were relatively simple to fix, but they largely were affecting very outdated systems. For example, Alpine 3.8. I think all the 3.8 series version and below. There was an internal tool that was using that. And when that certificate expired, the root, the DST root CA X3 certificate expired. At that point, a lot of those older operating systems did not have an updated certificate, because they had no longer been receiving updates in that manner. They had switched over to certificate should be replaced with the ISRG root X1 certificate. But older versions of operating systems, I think Mojave, if you weren't Mojave or greater in Apple, you had this problem. And Android was kind of, they did a workaround on Android a while ago that circumvented this problem. So Android, older versions of Android OS shouldn't have been affected. Older versions of CentOS, Red Hat, Ubuntu, so a lot of that stuff was affected. And what would end up happening is, you know, it's that thing where if you were to run from that operating system, if you were to run a curl call against a site that was, verified by Let's Encrypt, it would fail the certificate verification because the, DST root CA X3 certificate had expired and it did not have or know of the newer one, because that wasn't in any of the updates for that operating system, which was most likely no longer receiving updates. So yeah, we had a problem with some systems going down. It sucks, man, when you have such a large company.
Interesting.
and you have very, like, you end up having certain legacy systems that the person who knew about this left the company like 5 or 6 years ago, and,
yeah.
and here it is. It's been like lingering around, and it's passed off to like support across four different teams already, and nobody, just like everybody who had the expertise, is gone.
I know that one.
Yeah, so it's not a lot of fun. We're still having little hiccups and stuff. We find tools that nobody's touched in a while that are suffering this problem and have to be updated. But that's what keeps it exciting, right?
Indeed.
All of a sudden, outage in the middle of the day and nobody knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm. We had two releases this week as well. Android 12 is now out, and I think they're starting to push it to some of the Pixel devices. And Microsoft also released to the world Windows 11. Yeehaw. Where they finally get the same thing Linux has had for years, is multiple virtual desktops.
I saw an article saying that they were going to be on some PCs that are on the shelves.
Yeah. Well, they already are, like Best Buy's advertising, they got them, so on and so forth. It kind of moved, like the start button kind of completely changed up, and they moved it from the default on the left. It's kind of in the middle, a little bit like what Mac OS has. But it still kind of takes up the whole bottom of the screen, like Windows 10 does, and they completely changed the start menu, the little active tiles they had in the start menu with weather and such, that kind of stuff. That's all gone, and they've also added when you right click on a file in the file manager, instead of choosing like copy, you choose the little copy icon, which is like four or five icons across the top of it. So basically, other than that, it feels a lot like Windows 10 did to me. That's it. I'll have to see how new the WSL is on it. See what the options are for that. WSL, Windows Subsystem for Linux. So at least that's what they call it. I don't really know if I call it the same thing, but I have to see what versions of Ubuntu it has to add to the. So I'm running it on my Surface Pro 6 because I'm a nut. But as for Android 12, well, who knows when our Galaxy Note 10 Plus will get it, but could be sooner than later, because I did hear that if you have the Samsung, what's the Samsung member, I think it's called, you can sign up for the beta. And they're working on One UI 4 to go with it.
I ran into a problem with an Android update recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. And it's not Android. It's not Android's fault. Or Google, whoever you want to say. So I noticed that when I was using Runkeeper back in towards the end of September, like I think it was after the 20th, maybe a little before that, it was not, like, it would run, but it wouldn't track my distance. The GPS wasn't working or something. And so I think I started noticing this around mid-September, actually. And I was like, the first time it happened, I was like, that's weird. Never had that happen before. Like, I went on my run, which is typically 3.7 miles, and when I came back, it said I'd gone 0 miles. But it kept the time. And it happened again the next day, and even when I was on my bike ride, it wasn't doing anything. And then I would notice, like, it would record the last 50 feet of my run. And so I looked into it. I went over and went to the Play Store and looked at reviews for Runkeeper, and people were posting the same thing, that the GPS wasn't tracking. And I went to their website, which is absolute shit and has really nothing on there. They do have a forum, but things don't get posted there regularly. Did a little more digging in, and apparently, sometime in the past month and a half, it appears that permissions had changed inside of Android, whereby an older application, in this case Runkeeper, you gave it the permissions it originally had, but now there's a new permission that you must enable that allows the application to access the GPS when the screen is locked. Because what is happening is it has the access to the GPS, but then you lock the screen and then it forbids the access. And that permission is not available in the current version of Runkeeper. So people are saying all they need to do is update that and it should fix it. But then there's been nothing, like nothing that I have seen in a response from Runkeeper. And, it's very disappointing because I was using that to give them all my data that they could sell to everybody for years now. And now they're losing out. You know what I mean? How are they going to be able to sell my data if they don't fix this problem? You know what I'm saying, Joel?
No.
Guess it got him. You know what I'm saying, Joe?
Hold on. I'm trying to talk to you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like I said, you're probably going to have to use the Samsung Health app now.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I'm debating whether I want to jump ship to another application. But then I'm like, I got so much information. You know, I got so much back history in this. I'd like to stick with it.
Fix it.
What's that? Yeah, I could, but then once I switched, I'll have less desire to go backwards. You know what I mean? I don't know. Or even bother checking to see whether they fixed it or not. Given that their lackluster response
comes down the pipe.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's been going on for so long. They just haven't fixed it. I mean, I guess I would be a lot more upset if I thought I had bought it originally, but they do have a subscription one where it's like X number of dollars a month. I'm not going to say nine. I don't know how much, but I'm like, I have no interest in that. The features
have been down.
I have noticed it down since, like I said, before mid-September. I'm seeing people complaining about it. I think it's not happening on other platforms. And it's hard to see when people first started complaining about this. But 9:16, somebody reported the problem. So I think sometime back in the first couple of weeks of September, it might have were the changes involved. Now, I know that it wasn't until I did an update on Runkeeper. Okay, this person on 916 reported that it had been working for them for 2 weeks. So, yeah, around the beginning of September. I noticed that there was a security update around mid-September that probably had been sitting there for a bit, maybe a week or so before I noticed it. And once I did that security update is when I saw the problem, and I saw other people having it after I went in and looked at it. What's wrong, Phil?
Sorry, couldn't talk. I had to go run downstairs to the bathroom.
Oh.
And with my current foot ankle issue, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's getting better. I go a little slower than usual.
What you need is you need a little bucket there, right? So you don't have to even leave your desk.
Trust me, I've thought about weird stuff like that. Actually, one thing I thought about doing, don't have one up here now, but I'm thinking about picking up one of the smaller Keurigs so that after I have that first cup, I don't, you know, I'll sit there at my desk and figure, do I need another cup of coffee? No, I don't feel like going downstairs yet. So I just go and grab an energy drink out of the fridge. Yeah. Oh, I could fill up, like, I got a Pac-Man mug a few weeks ago at Jungle Gyms, and that's a big freaking mug, but it's kind of a pain to drink out of. Yeah. Well, that one will hold probably about 16 ounces. But then, of course, then I got my Star Trek, tankard. I got a Enterprise A tankard down there. That was back in my drinking days where I really wanted stuff like that. Now I wouldn't buy one of those, but I drink coffee out of it. So, but no, it's interesting you talk about that, Dan, though, because my garage door has what they call MyQ, and there's a couple of problems I've been having with it. One is I'm supposed to be able to add that to my alarm.com system, so that I can have that it does like geofencing. So like if I pull out of the fence, it would then shut my garage door for me if it was still open. And it was also the one thing I did notice with the fencing on the system is it'll remind me to turn on my security system, but it won't turn it on for me, which is actually probably a good thing, because right now the only phone linked to the system is mine. So if the fam's home, then that kind of sucks, you know. But then when I do get within range of the house, though, after it's on, it's, well, pretty much most of the time it's supposed to shut off when I get within range. But once or twice over the weekend, it didn't. So, but the even better part, though, is this week I discovered by logging into their website that I can have it turn the system on automatically for me at night, because that's one thing I always forget to do, because we never really had – well, we had it. We had the old school ADT system they used to have. There was no apps back then. It was just a keypad. And, of course, Brainiacs that my wife and I were at the time, we had them put it downstairs by the laundry room, mostly because, well, at that time we were using the garage quite a bit. But then, of course, as we had Luke and we had more crap that we had to store, couldn't really park cars in the garage for a little while. Then Luke cleaned it out one day, and he parks his in there. So, but I got brave this week and let my son's temporarily driving my car because his car's in the shop. But hopefully we get it back in the next day or so. They called me today and says the only thing that they found was it was a quart low on oil, and that might have made that check engine come on. That's one of the things that says it. I don't know if it was a quart low. I checked it before we left. Granted, at the age that car is, it could be burning oil, so we might just have to check the oil more. Oh boy, here comes Rich.
Oh boy, a Simon and Drew's talking. Who would have guessed that?
Kiss my ass.
You want it now or in Macy's window? Tell me where.
Are you going to check Joel's oil too?
Oh yeah, with my dipstick.
But Mr. 3D printed gun, you.
Uh-oh. Are you a Fed?
I don't give a crap. Why would I give a crap? It's not.
Carry said guns unless unregistered.
He's no, got a little, well, it's a lower printed on your bullpup.
It's well, first off, any gun I manufacture is legal to carry because I'm a correct. Florida resident with a carry permit.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of communist state you're from.
I'm from Texas. I can carry that's not any communist. Gun I want to anywhere.
You can open carry.
Yeah, all right, so if you guys are interested, you go over to Instagram and take a look at FlyingRich_official, and you can see the Glock bullpup that I had nothing to do with other than printing, but Control Pew let me into the beta program. And so I'm, you know, a few hours away from probably test firing it.
Looks rather nice. I had a 3D printing project, too, that I'm working on. I finally got the bottom sized right. So now at this point, all I have to do is wire it together. I'm making my own Atari compatible joystick with a Sanwa arcade style button and arcade style stick with the micro switches. So all I got to do now is go to the old stick I'm cannibalizing and then solder the right wires in place, and I should be able to test it soon.
Don't forget to use shrink wrap.
Yeah. I don't know. There may not be enough wire left over to shrink wrap, but yeah, I mean, that's not a bad point there. But the other thing I'll probably do with that too is it came, the joystick came with the like a ribbon cable. So what I'm probably just going to do is split the end of the ribbon cable and just solder it directly to that ribbon cable. At least then, if something happens or I want to switch the stick out at some point, I can just unplug it and plug it into the new stick, you know. But I don't know how much I'm going to use it because I have an original Atari joystick that's in still good working order, and I'm primarily using it with my 800XL, which I actually do have finally hooked up in my office here. But that's where I'm using that mostly. And then I'm also printing goofy Halloween stuff. Using vase mode. There's these pumpkin models I found. And if you use vase mode, you can actually make like little bowls.
Pumpkin shaped bowls. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I need to use vase mode on something.
Yeah, the only thing about vase mode is, you know, you don't print it for something. You need to be absolutely solid, and don't actually print a real vase because it's one layer essentially, at least on the sides. So the bottom is two or three, I think. So it's not that much. But I've been playing with the latest version of Kura, which has the monotonic layering. Does that make things look really great without using ironing?
Oh, I haven't upgraded. I haven't played with the new version.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very pleased with the latest version. They also changed up the interface too a little bit. It's kind of prettied it up a little bit. Kind of like what Microsoft did with Windows 11.
Hey, Rich,
there's a new Windows
Glock bullpup printed thing going.
So the question is, how's it going? It should be ready to fire. I there's a little bit of tweaking and this and that on a couple of things, but realistically, I probably could have fired it a week ago, but I just want to get everything set right.
Right,
everything.
You had a video on Instagram, and I'm thinking, are you going to fire it into the pool? Because it looked like you were.
Yeah. The trigger pull's good. I've never built a Glock before. I never realized how easy it is. It's about 10 times easier than building an AR. And,
yeah, I've done a couple poly 80s lowers builds.
Yeah. So, a lot of people, Boy, other than the electric for the print, other companies like have provided the materials for me. So right, actually cool. Hank Strange kind of made the big arrangements and he sent me some filament, and Brownells provided like the barrel and the brake and awesome. I think the upper parts kit, and JSD Supply supplied the rails and a lower parts kit.
Nice.
And
they did the brakes?
Yeah. So basically, other than the electric and, you know, whatever, I had to buy a little bit of hardware. And a viewer, he sent me sights and the guide rod for it. So pretty much every stinking thing, other than some screws at the hardware store, it was pretty much free.
Awesome. Nice.
Can't wait to check it out.
Just from the picture I saw you share there, picture and video I saw you share there, it looks like basically anything that's really low bearing, like from the firing the weapon, isn't 3D printed. It's just the handle and the lower portion.
Well, all right. So the slide, a Glock slide, rides on rails, and the rails are in the lower. So,
right.
All of that is, you know, load bearing to some degree, and
right.
So the rails go in and they're supported on like three sides basically, and a pin goes through to lock them in so they don't come out. So the pin is just so they don't come out vertically, and pretty much the print, you know, is on the sides of it. So I may put some sort of rig together so I pull a string and fire it for the first time or first couple times just to make sure, you know, the slide doesn't blow off the back.
And I don't blame you on that. I don't blame you on that at all. Because that's what something that even like if you ever watch the Pawn Stars firing some of the older weapons they got, just to make sure they can fire, and you know they'll have pull it with a string or something like that, just so they don't blow off Corey's hand or something. But
it's like the AK guy is building a 50 caliber AK. He's been doing that with his prototypes.
I wasn't at the last Iraq veteran, which was last weekend, but I don't think Brandon was there either, so I haven't seen Brandon in a couple of years.
Yeah, it sounds like he's getting close. I watch his videos, and he's got the prototype running. Cycling.
Yeah. So the V2 prototype, that's looking real good, and it looks like he learned a lot from that. And, let's see, him and, what's his face? Grand Thumb had a video, together, and they talked about it. And, so he's on to the V3, and which I think is very cool. He's not 3D printing parts for it, but he's 3D printing parts to mock it up and see how they'll function before they send the design off to the machine shop.
Mm.
I would say this about anyone. I would say this, look, I got a SIG P365, and like the first three versions of the SIG P365 were no good. How do I say this without being a total douchebag?
SIG likes the beta tests.
I would buy the second version that Brandon comes out with.
Mm-hmm.
The Rev 2 of it. I wouldn't buy the first one. Again, I might be completely wrong on this. If you buy the first one, whether it is or is not perfect, that might be incredibly valuable.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so, and the question is, are you looking to make an investment in a firearm, or are you looking to have something that's fun? And again, I've always had the idea to build a firearm, but you know, again, what hasn't been done before? And you might say a 50 cal AK, but the next question is, do we need a 50 cal AK? You know, there's other 50 cal solutions out there.
Right.
And again, I'm not like, I'll complain about 3D printing, like, oh, I don't want to print dust collectors.
Right.
So I printed, what is it they play at Hogwarts? What do they call it?
Quidditch. Yeah.
And they're going for the snitch. So I printed a snitch, and I printed Hogwarts castles, for my wife And, you know, that's of the, you know, dust collecting items, I could,
right.
I probably could count on my fingers on one hand. But, so, I went into that whole diversion. But yeah, I do have a couple of unicorn type firearms, and I got them because I thought they were cool. And whether, you know, a PS90 is useful or not, or reasonable to have, or whether a Mos Nagant is useful or not, or reasonable to have, or whether, what is it, my, Kel-Tec RFB, you know, a 308 bullpup, none of these firearms you can make a really good justification for having with, for various reasons. But yeah, again, if you love the AK platform, you think it should be a 50 cal, because it's, you know, the AK platform is in, you know, 7.62x54R, it's in 5.56, it's in 5.45x39, you know, it's in a, and even 9mm, and it's probably, I wouldn't know if it's in the Tokarev caliber either, but there are a vast number of calibers that work in an AK style platform. This is the same in an AR style platform.
That's kind of nifty.
Yeah, if you're an AK fanatic and you got, I don't know how many numbers AKs, the only AK I have is the one I bought with Pat.
Romanian on the folder, correct?
Yeah. Pat and I went to a gun show in, was it Jersey or Pennsylvania? It was Pennsylvania.
It was the one down by King of Prussia.
Yeah, so, it's more apt to be PA than it is New Jersey.
Yeah, back when a wooden crate of Mosin ammo wasn't too expensive.
What are they going for now, like 400?
Oh, I don't, but it's not worth it. First off, I don't have an accurate Mosin, and the Mosin ammo isn't cheap anymore to make it fun to shoot a Mosin. Because the only thing that was fun about shooting a Mosin is it was a large caliber and it was cheap to shoot. And now it's neither.
Yeah, you missed the beginning of the show. There was a water main break 3 doors away from my house and we had no water for about 12 hours or so.
Was it freezing out? What happened?
No, I think, well, they're still building around me, so I think somebody...
Backhoe
hit it, yep. I think that's what happened, but it must have happened, like, Friday sometime late afternoon, you know, because, you know, it started, you know, little trickle, that's all there was, and
So you were days without water?
No, not that long, fortunately, but... That was the Friday night. That's what I thought would happen though. Because here's the fun thing is the, builder slash the mortgage company. When we closed, they said they finally were able to figure out, well, this is a company that's going to be doing your water. Okay. So it's called a company called Pioneer Energy Management. Okay. I called them Friday night. Oh, we can't find your account. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, you know, we haven't got a bill yet. You know, we've been here 2 months. So, a little over 2 months now. But, so, through their webpage, I email them and say, hey, what's the deal? You know, and same shit comes back at me Monday morning. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure the address is right. This is the one they gave me. This is where I live. This is where I actually finally can get mail. Oh, we finally got the keys to the mailbox too. But so later on this week they sent me a thing that says, "Oh, we're still taking over your community." So I'm like, "Oh yeah, free water then, right?" I'm betting the first 3 months the builder will end up paying the water for, because we don't have an individual water meter on our house. We have a community water meter. So what?
Oh Jesus! God bless you.
Yeah, I know. If I'd have known that at the time,
I would have never agreed to that. But who would have thought to check for that?
Not me. Just the same. Like I didn't find out that we were going to have fiber to the premises until 2 weeks before we closed. When I go to set every all the utilities up, and that kind of screwed my network plans for the house, but that's okay. You know, I'm making do. It works, and I'll still be able to use those cables that I got in the walls now, but just not for how I thought I would use them for. But it's so to finish the water drama, after it did come back on Saturday afternoon, the toilet in the master suite, you know, as in my toilet, the one I use all the time, it would flush, but it took like a half an hour for it to fill. And the sink in the kitchen were basically just dribbling out, you know, not that much water pressure at all. So, they had the plumber for warranty call because, you know, I'm still under warranty for the next, 11 months now. So, at least on everything, like structure is longer than that, but, so they send, hey, send,
11 months or until it rains, whichever comes first.
Yeah, right. But, so they sent a plumber out and, she cleaned out the, and it was a woman plumber. She cleaned out the valve on the, you know, the flush valve on a toilet, and that fixed that. And she did the same thing with in the kitchen. Also cleaned out the aerators too. I guess I could have done that, but I don't think.
Who would have thought you needed that? You know, with
Yeah.
60 days in the house.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have thought I needed that either. She did find quite a bit of dirt in the aerator, but I don't think it was enough to actually cause what I was seeing. There was some problems in the line too, so she fixed the line as well. But and then not too long ago, I get a knock on the door. I come down there and says, "Oh, we're going up on the roof." Apparently they didn't saw the cap off the vent for the plumbing. I assume it's the vent for the plumbing. So, yep. We never had a problem with it. They just showed up and said, I think what happened is the inspector from the final inspection saw that and they had to correct it or something like that. But we never noticed a problem with it and we've been here 2 months. so, but they did that. One thing I'm considering, although I don't think we really have a radon issue here, the house is set up for an active, radon system. But just doesn't have it, but it has like the outlet and the plugs, you know, everything it needs to hook into that. So all we have to do is buy one and they can put it in.
Does that mean you have a basement office?
No, my office is over the garage. So, and then the whole entire first floor is the rest of the house. So this room's the only thing that's upstairs. So one I'm sitting in, but. Anyway, and then all the final pieces came in for the inside. We're still waiting on a few little things outside, but.
I got about 10 minutes and just enough time to tell a story. And, so I run Home Automation Assistant and I have, there's new software, or new to me, I should say, called Frigate NVR. It's a plugin. And basically, if you have an RTSP stream, it will pull the video in. And then if you have like a Google Coral, which I do, a USB accelerator, USB TPU accelerator, that is. And it'll utilize that to do on-prem AI, and it'll look in your video streams, and I have it looking for people in cars. And I'll notify you on that. So
explain USB accelerator.
It's like an accelerator pedal, but it's not in your car. No. What it is it's a hardware device and it's designed to do, it's, you know, an ASIC for, okay. AI. And gotcha. It does, so it's called TPU, a tensor processing unit. And since COVID, the prices on these things went nutso, but I just happened to have one because I bought it, you know, like a year plus ago. Wasn't sure what to do with it, and now I have the perfect application for it. So I had to swap out my NVR, which for whatever reason they call it NVR. It's a DVR, digital video recorder. It just happens to take, you know, 8 analog camera inputs into it. So my old system... I just, you know, unplugged it, plugged the new system in, went through the setup, configured the streams, and there's a YAML file for on Home Assistant for the NVR. So now it detects, you know, people in cars, and it'll notify the Home Assistant app on my phone. I've got to tune it down so it doesn't go nutso, like if it goes from day to light, you know, dark to light or whatever, that it determines that this is a car I haven't seen before, even though it hasn't moved in 24 hours. The next level, and I saw a video on how to do it, is I want to identify people, as in family members, and I want to be able to, like, open the garage door and deactivate the alarm. The passage into the house, there's a keypad that's not connected, so you still, you know, if you ran around with a photograph of, you know, me or my wife, it might open the garage door, might deactivate the alarm, but it's not gonna, get you into the house yet.
Tech Tips just did a video on something similar, but it was, PCI, either XA or X16, I'm not sure, I just remember seeing the size of it. It was some other AI accelerator card that they said worked really well. I don't know if you want to check his channel or not to see how they set it up.
All right.
Okay, yeah, I'll take a look at it. And this thing, I mean, it's just like a thumb drive. But there's a couple of versions of it, and, you know, of course the USB version just went crazy. I think I bought it for like $40 or $50, and it's now listing around $150.
Right.
If you get like the M2 version, it's $40 or $50. If you can find it. So that's actually working pretty cool. I'm pretty impressed with that. And, originally what I was going to do is I got one of those $10 HDMI to USB adapters, and I piped, the output of the NVR, which, you know, showed all of the cameras simultaneously. It's 8 cameras, but it did a 3x3 grid. So there's one black square. And I figured maybe I could put that through the TPU instead of buying another, you know, NVR. That didn't work, but, I do have it on another ARM board, and I can pull up a browser and see all of the cameras simultaneously, which is kind of cool.
I need to do some external cameras here at the house.
So two devices I had kicking around for over a year haven't used yet, but I'm pretty excited I got them working.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And with that, gentlemen, I'm going to do a hit and run and jump off.
Here
and,
you go.
Hang out with Door-to-Door Geek.
Oh boy, mini PC show coming in.
Indeed.
So.
Alright guys.
See you later.
Have a great evening.
So long.
Yep, I need to get some cameras for the front, probably for the front, maybe for the back of the house at one point. I don't want anything pointing inside the house, because that's just creepy. especially if it's a cloud-based camera system, definitely don't want it pointing inside the house. Outside, I don't give a shit. You know, but main reason for that though is, I haven't had a problem yet. I park outside because my car, when Luke's car is in the garage, mine won't fit in the garage because I got, you know, storage for things out there. So, and around here, I don't know if it's been happening down whether either in Texas or in Virginia where you live there, Dan, but, around here, there's been people stealing, catalytic converters quite often. I don't think I've heard of anybody getting hit twice, and mine's never been hit because it's always parking in the driveway, but one of these days I think I need to look at getting some cameras for the outside. I'd rather them to be, as sustainable as they can, like powered off the solar cells so I don't have to pull them down or pull batteries out to charge them or anything like that. So one of these days I need to do that. But it's not going to be
any time
soon.
What kind of car does Luke have again?
2016 Chevrolet Cruze.
What kind of car do you have?
2017 Chevy Traverse, which is a bigger SUV.
And now Luke has a 2017 Chevy Traverse, right?
Temporarily while his car's in the shop. But, well, we talked about it because we were going to get a rental car while his car was in the shop, but it was like going to be like $500. And it's like, because we were also trying to get him on the rental car so that he can drive it. But that's an extra $125 because he's not 25 yet. So, but, anywho, that's the
car. You work from home. Where the hell are you going that you need to have a car?
The only time I really need a car is on the weekends and on Thursdays, because Thursdays I'm usually.
And every day because Uber Eats doesn't deliver.
Well, there's a way around that, Joe. Technically, I could go, since the sales office is in Google Maps, I can have it set there. I just have to go down there to get it. But, needless to say, that's a pain in the ass hassle. So I usually go out, to go get something, on Thursdays, cause this doesn't, it's not worth me cooking on Thursday nights because it's only me, you know, unless I cook something like, I think I already got stuff to arrange for tomorrow. Like I've got like a small, looks like semi-tasty microwavable thing that I'm going to do. Either microwavable, or I think you might be able to stick it in the oven, but anyway, so, you know, that's my Thursday, but, we got another, tech event coming here in a few weeks, the Google, Pixel 6 announcement.
Well, I thought you meant coming specifically to your town.
Oh. Well, yeah, we got OLF coming, but that's not till December now.
Right.
But, the Google, they're official. We know what they're going to look like. We just don't know a lot of details about the hardware inside of it yet. But we do know some details. They're going to have a Pixel 6 Pro and a Pixel 6. And, I think this is going to be the first phone Google's produced with their own silicon, because it's going to have the TensorFlow, chips in the phones. So we'll see. That could possibly be the phone for me when I upgrade from my Note 10 Plus. But it might also be the S22 Ultra though, which is going to be essentially be the Note replacement. So we'll see.
Wait, when's that supposed to be out? The 6th?
The event is October 19th. I don't know if they're releasing it at the same time.
When did the 5 come out?
That's last year, I think. Or no. Was it last year or the year before? It might have been the year before on the 5, Pixel 5, because they brought up a 5A. I'm trying to remember, when did the Pixel 5 come out?
Wait a second. No. Okay.
As we all Google it.
Yeah, I know.
October 15th.
Okay, so the Pixel 4a came out October 1st. Wait.
The 5a, you're thinking.
So October 2020 was the 4a. When did the 5 come out?
I'm guessing also October 20. Well, wait a minute. This review I'm reading here is from September 2nd, 2021, but I think it was released in October 2020.
Oh, so the 4A and the 5 were released really close to each other. So the Pixel 5
right,
was released.
And since that, they had another event for the 5A. Yeah.
October 29th, 2020. And, okay, so this, alright. So I was like, man, I just got the 4A, which came out fairly recent. It wasn't that long ago.
Right.
Yeah, but actually, so it's going on a year now.
Yeah.
Well, so, but still a year. That's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, cell phone time.
Yeah, it is. It's,
and that's
cell phone
two Ubuntu
time.
Releases.
Yeah. Yeah, Ubuntu releases later this month.
So, excitement there.
Yep. Yep.
Which means we should probably be getting a Fedora release soon, too.
I would assume. Do either of you, actually with Google, I started using the dark theme for the search. I actually kind of like that.
That's not the profile, is it?
Well, it's like the first time you go to it, like with the regular when it's still white.
Right.
It says, hey, we have a dark mode now, and you choose, you say, okay, go ahead, turn it on, and it does perpetuate across systems. Like, if I go to my work laptop, my Google search is also the black dark theme.
If you're using the same profile.
Yeah, and I am. So,
right.
So, I do like that, the dark theme. But as far as phones, like, I looked at both the Z Fold and the latest Fold, Galaxy Fold, and they come pre-greased, so it's like, I could probably read on a phone.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you later.
Take it easy, Joe.
Yeah, we're getting close to the end, but yeah, I could probably read on the Fold, but I don't think I would be able to watch something on the Fold because the crease in the middle would just screw with me. But
is it very noticeable?
Of the demo units I've seen, like I went to Best Buy and saw one, yeah, for me it's noticeable. But granted, you're seeing it, it's probably at its best, but I've seen people actually crack the screen. Now, granted, I don't think that's as common with the 3, but I mean, I go over to Best Buy and I see it sitting in the phone area and I go open it up to play with it. Yep, it's visible. I can see it.
Can you imagine how much of a pain in the butt it would have to be to replace that screen?
Annoying. Oh, that too. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not going to be it's not an easy replacement. But like I think of the dual screen kind of thing, I hate to say it, the Microsoft one is probably the best idea with two actual screens. Actually, technically, I think technically they have three, but on the Surface Fold 2, but the third screen is very tiny. It's basically right along the spine of the phone. So that when the phone's closed, if somebody texts you, you can look at that and you can actually, you probably can't read it, but you can at least tell if you got a text message or something like that, which is probably enough for you to open up the phone. But the only thing that I have a little bit wonder on that is, well, first off, that one's not carried, but you can't, do that on a payment plan with any provider. You're paying for the whole thing altogether. Alright. So it will run on pretty much every carrier in the States, but one thing that it has that's not very encouraging is the camera on the back has a relatively huge bump on it, so you can't completely fold open, where you have a screen on behind and a screen on the front. So there's a little bit of a gap there, which is kind of nasty looking to me. But if I were to buy one of the dual screen phones, that would probably be it. But I'm not gonna probably. I'll probably buy either a Pixel 6 or the 22 Ultra once it gets out. I got about 3 or 4 months left of payments anyway, and the only reason I'm thinking about that is some apps seem to start slowing down on my 10. Galaxy Note 10 Plus. So, if I wasn't seeing that, it'd probably be, I'd probably not even be thinking about it. But, I probably am thinking about it. Cause like, I go to, one thing I do, highly recommend if you go to Sam's Club, use their Scan and Go app, cause it's great. It's basically, you just scan stuff as you put in the cart, and then when I get up to the front, like a few feet before the door, I'll fire up the app on the phone and pay for my groceries, and then they scan the QR code that's on my phone screen, and then they'll scan two or three things, I think it's three things, in my cart, and then I go. And I'll have to stand in line. And is that putting somebody out of work? Possibly. But with the lines as stupid busy as they get at our stores, I don't know how often you go to the store, Dan, but it's been horrible lately going to the stores.
Well, I go to the store, I go real early in the morning typically.
Yeah. Well, you usually have a pickup, right?
Yeah, I do that, but like, I might go to the store, go in the store on a Saturday morning. Yeah, I've got, right. Yeah, I do the pickup typically once a week, and I'm just like, I don't feel like going in the store anymore. But if I do go in on a Saturday morning, it's usually not bad. I'm
right. It's like I usually try to go, well, I don't always try to go during the Buckeye game, but I do like going during the Buckeye game because there's nobody in the store up here.
There you go.
So it's like, you know, it's usually pretty easy to get through, but, you know, and for me, it's not necessarily COVID for not wanting to go to the store. It's just everything else, you know, people there anyway, you know, like, I don't know what people think, but it's like seems like every single time I go to the grocery store, I get stuck behind people not at the register, but in the aisle. And there's just striking up a conversation right in the middle of the store. It's like, get the fuck out of the road so I can get my stuff and get out of here, please. Thank you. But
I sometimes have that problem, people.
Just right.
Like, all over the aisle. But again, if you go early enough.
Right.
Ain't nobody there.
Or late enough. Like, oh, I like, yeah, to go, like, I'll like to go, like, we don't have 24-hour stores anymore, but we do have, some that are open till like midnight. So if I go around 10 o'clock, it's usually not too bad. But, yeah, and that's just something, less me than it is. My wife is more anti-people when we go to the store. And that's always the things that I do, is I try to always, since like I've been a kid, try to go to things when there's not as many people there. It's just what I do. Like, if I want to go to a theme park or something, am I gonna go on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? Fuck no, I wanna go on a Wednesday. You know, in the middle of the week. That way, like I do Busch Gardens. If I was ever down there again, I'd do Busch Gardens in the middle of the week, and that way there's a lot less people there. And you get on the rides faster.
Absolutely.
And I don't even believe in pay. Like, some of the amusement parks have the little card that lets you cut the front of the line. I don't like that concept at all. And I think it's unfair to people. I'm like, I'd rather just have a line and just that be it. I mean, I get why some get it, but it's not worth paying the extra for me either. It's bad enough that I go to an amusement park and they have a Chick-fil-A inside the amusement park and I get a meal for me, my son, and my wife. And it cost me $60.
Yeah, it gets you coming and going, don't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, at a Chick-fil-A.
Costs you about as much as a ticket to get in there to eat.
Yep. And that's why, if I'm paying that much, I'd rather go to a place like Old Charlie's or something like that. And I'm getting much better food than Chick-fil-A. I mean, Chick-fil-A is delicious. Don't get me wrong. But, you know. But I'd rather not pay $60 for it. And another thing with Chick-fil-A is I don't want to sit in my car in those freaking lines they get. Lately, they've been slamming every single time I go in. You know, I go to Chick-fil-A to go through the drive-thru. It does move quickly, but whew, it's been bad. But
I have the same problem that you do right now. I have an older kid whose car is out of commission, so they're using one of our cars. And because idiot didn't teach his kids to drive stick, they're using the new car. And so my the Fit, which is stick, My wife has been using that
to get back
and forth to school at work. So I don't that have sucks. A car like a lot of, like, especially on the weekends when she has to go to work, I don't have a car.
Mm.
Not that I'm going anywhere, but
we both work from home, so that's usually not too much of a problem.
Yeah, it's not a work problem. It's a, if I need to go to the store problem. I have to,
right.
That's largely why I have to go in early in the morning.
Now, I just hope that, go away. Luke climbed the stairs just to fart. I'm not kidding. Anyway, yeah, I every once in a while I would like to go, like, you know, jump in the car, go grab lunch or something, but where I live now, it's not that far to the store, but it's a lot farther than it was, when I lived over in Columbus. In Columbus, we're talking less than 5 minutes. I can get there in 2-3 minutes, be back. I could probably be gone maybe 15 minutes. That's not going to happen where I'm at here. We're talking probably at least 20, maybe 30 minutes round trip, you know, and it depends on if I'm, how long I wait at the restaurant, you know, but, and then I was talking to a friend of mine, one of my coworkers, and who just actually started, he's pretty good too. But we were talking about that today, and he's like, "Well, we moved into our house in 2017, and I'm still not in Google Maps." I'm like, "You're shitting me, right?" I'm like, I hope it doesn't take that long. You see, the thing I don't get is we're freaking in Apple Maps, and Apple Maps generally sucks. But oh well. It'll get there. I'm not, you know, it's going to start making me cook better. Like, I cooked chili tonight and cornbread. I cheated on the cornbread though. I didn't make it from scratch.
What happened? To get you. You're muted, man. If you're still talking. Uh-oh. We got him. Finally got him. Oh, well. I guess that means we got to wrap up the show. I don't know where he went. But this is the month for a bunch of releases, hopefully a Fedora release. And if you're interested in the Ohio Linux Fest, head on over there at Ohio. You still there, Joel? Still there, Joel? Yes, no. Sound like he was coming back.
Coming back.
Anyway, so, for more information on the Ohio Linux Fest, head over to olfconference.org 2021. It's going to be, I believe, some in person maybe, but also virtual. So check them out. If you're interested in submitting a talk, they have that information up there. I believe they're still accepting submissions for talks. Yep. So you cut out there for a bit.
Yeah, I went to lean back and I bumped the dongle sticking out of my laptop from my headset.
Oh, that'll do it.
So I had to plug it and return everything back on.
Are you on OpenStreetMap?
You know what? That's a good question.
I remember that was big, at least for me. I remember when I used to contribute to OpenStreetMap.
I think it's a pain in the ass to do it now. I've tried.
I haven't looked at doing it in a long time, but I remember I used to do the, I think it was Rowing Golfer that got me the Garmin GPS, and I used to go run around town with that thing, turn it on the tracker, and then come home and plug that in, download the track and upload it. OpenStreetMap and map things out on there and submit it. That was fun. Anyway, I guess we should probably wrap this up here. I'm going to play us out. You have a good week, Joel, along with everybody else. Enjoy this first week of October as the days get shorter and the nights get longer. And we're only a few weeks away from the clocks rolling back. Hooray. So anyway, here are your promos. We'll see you in a week.
I am sure.
Yep.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. To answer your question, no, I am not in OpenStreetMap.
Oh, there you go.
The only place I am is in Apple Maps, and I don't know why that is. And also Waze. And that's the other thing that's hurts more. Yeah, I'm in Waze, but I'm not in Google Maps. How about that? And Waze is owned by Google Maps.
How's that? I thought Waze used Google Maps.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I ain't figured it out yet. But, yeah, it's true. It's like...
That's weird. I thought since Google bought them, they were just using the same map.
No, they also let you map things kind of in a similar method to OSM, but yeah. So, well, look at the COVID numbers for Ohio. The cases are down. They've peaked and we're going back down again.
That's good.
Yeah. And what I found too is in most places, like Columbus itself and a lot of surrounding communities have a new mask order. But even where they have them, most stores ain't doing jack shit about people not wearing masks. You know, you'll probably 50-50 is my guess. So, it's all right. You know. People gone people at this point, you know, that's, I'm not gonna stress about that anymore. So if I did that, I'd be stressing out every damn day. But, yeah, see, the last day they have numbers for in here is the 29th, and the new cases are 540, and a 7-day average is 483. And that whole time, the death rate has been flat. Anybody who's gotten the Delta variant here looks like they've pretty much, I'm not saying there is no death, but everyone that's gotten it, almost everyone that's gotten it has been, you know, getting over it relatively quick. I actually had a couple friends that had it, and two relatives, my brother-in-law, his wife got it at a kid's birthday party, and they're both doing fine. The other one that guy got a kind of a scare with is my one friend who moved he moved just before I did from Columbus down to Bremen, Ohio. And, he got it. And one Saturday, they ran him into the emergency room, because his O2 sats were dropping. And, they just put him on oxygen. It wasn't more than like a day or so after that he took a COVID test and he tested, Negative. So I think he's back in action right now. So he didn't really have anything lasting, which is good for him.
That's good.
But yeah, since we haven't really had a really huge death rate here since like February, and even then it was fairly low. So yeah, at least for our county.
Just stop the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Yep. Have a good night.
Sorry, I'm late there. So you've been drinking Wild Turkey again, Joel.
No, I said Wild Turkey. The animal is delicious. When you go hunt it.
Not partial to the beverage, too, of the same name?
Well, if I actually drank, I probably would drink Wild Turkey.
Is that still around?
It is. It's not the best whiskey I've ever had, but it's okay. Back when I drank.
Should try Wild Turkey 101.
That's what we drank in high school.
That's 101 proof Wild Turkey, huh?
Uh-huh.
Now, the only thing I drank, when I drank 151 on occasion, not very often. The rum, and that is. And one time I went on, this is like a long time ago, and yeah, I actually did go on a work trip for the grocery store I worked on. They were open stores up in Toledo. So a group of us all went up there. And that's back when I was drinking much heavier than I am now. Or I'm not drinking at all now, but
I was going to say.
Right. But even right before I quit, I was drinking much heavier back then. So we would work our shifts and then we'd all meet up at a restaurant or something every night or a bar and get toasted or actually, a lot of times what we did is before we left work, we'd go buy a six pack or two, we're already there at the grocery store. And then we go back to our rooms and, all meet up in one of our rooms and, drink.
I need a weight bench.
I drank a fifth of Jack Daniels one time during the trip.
Probably migrated for about 500 pounds.
Oh, you're munch?
Oh, no, I have to have one that's rated for 500 pounds.
Well, see, you have to... Is that counting the weights in you, or just the weights? Okay.
It's just the bench. What?
Are you doing... Is your washer on spin, Dan?
That wasn't me.
Oh.
Wasn't me.
Wait, what do I hear?
Definitely not me.
You still hear it now?
It's gone.
You hear that, right?
Yeah, you hear the static.
Oh, come on. That's weird.
Yes, it is.
No. Why is this thing not connected? This is connected. Reconnect.
Well, my weigh bench is rated for 500 pounds, but it's 7 years old.
Old and tired, huh?
Yeah, and it kind of wobbles a little bit now, and I've had more than 500 pounds on it.
Well, mine came with,
I don't know. I think tomorrow when I get off work, since I'm batching it, family will be at bowling alley. I want to put together my son's, we got him a Billy shelf from IKEA I need to put together. And that was one of the very few things I bought at IKEA that was only in one box. But damn, was that thing a heavy box.
I'll have to check and see what Academy Sports has.
There you go. Academy. You know, I've only seen Academy a few times, but every time I've seen them, they look great.
Oh, whatever sporting goods store is near me, see what they have. Because if I order it through Amazon, even if it says free shipping, I'm still paying shipping fees.
Yeah.
Still going to cost more because it's a really heavy item.
Right. But yeah, it's... Yeah, I need to...
Maybe the marketplace.
Yeah, I think as soon as my my right foot and ankle's been kind of giving me fits about a week and a half. But today I kind of had a breakthrough where I still kind of walk funny on it, but I can walk pretty fast. Not, you know, I can't run on it, but I can definitely at least get around much better. And I'm thinking it was either tendonitis or it could have been plantar fasciitis. So, yeah, could be that too, but it's just the one side though. So I'm more likely to think I might have.
Or sprinting again?
No.
Hiking?
Could it? I don't know. I don't know exactly what they did. It could have been me stepping on something too, because I swear since we moved in here, I've been putting IKEA furniture together.
I was asking when you were going to start working out again.
Yeah, I need to. I did find out the gym I can still go to the gym I belong to. I still belong to it. I just haven't been in a year because COVID.
Don't have any gym memberships anymore.
Yeah, lucky you. But I heard they're doing, like, they had an old Kmart in Grove City here where they're doing almost exactly the same thing. They're putting a Planet Fitness in it and an Aldi and something else. So, but they're still building it. So eventually, once that one opens, I'm going to switch my membership over there because it's a tiny bit closer. Because the other one is, I gotta go either two ways. One, I gotta go up Jackson Pike to Stringtown Road. Jackson Pike is Ohio Route 104, basically. And then go down Stringtown and hit 71 to 270, which goes over towards where my old area was. Or I can also turn right down Jackson Pike and go down to 665. Which then goes all the way over to 23, which is turns into High Street, which goes right up to where my church and all that is. So I can either go one or two directions. It just depends on, what my mood is. Cause if I want to go get a coffee at Starbucks, I usually go up to Stringtown Road because there's Starbucks on the way.
Like
what?
40 minutes.
Okay.
So I dropped that one, and then work closed the wellness center, and it won't be opening back up, so there's no gym at the office anymore. I'm not going into the office yet anyway.
Right.
And then I had that free test-out membership place up the street, Texas Family Fitness, and it was decent, but not a 24-hour gym. COVID numbers are surging again.
Right.
And when I finally do end up going back to the office, you know, by the time I get there, they're going to be almost ready to close and I'm not going to be able to get good workout in. So.
See, that's also another part of my problem is Planet Fitness, which used to be 24 hours. Most of them were 24 hours all the time. Mine never was. It was always like, Monday through Friday was 24 hours. But then Monday through Thursday, I should say, were 24 hours. But then Friday, they would close at like 9. And Saturday, it would close at like 4 or 5. And then they never were open Sunday. So I gotta look and see, what the hours will be. I mean, I don't necessarily have to switch my home gym to the Grove City one when it opens. I can still go there. But I think I probably will, because it just doesn't make sense for me to go up to High Street anymore.
I'll do without having a gym membership for a while, and then once, yep. If once things calm down a little bit, then figure out what I want to do, and I have time, because
yep.
Yeah, I've gotten used to that whole not commuting everywhere thing.
Right? I mean, I could probably go, which would be a little bit closer to me now, rejoin the YMCA, but, you know, that I'm only...
There's a YMCA a few miles from me, but it's actually more right. expensive than most of the gyms.
That's what I was going to say. It's that, and the only thing extra I really get there would be the pool.
Yeah.
Because they actually have an indoor pool, too, and an outdoor pool.
Got an Olympic-sized pool, then that might be worth it.
Yep, they do. They actually technically have two of them.
And you don't live in a major metropolitan area where it's
yes.
always going to be full and you're never going to be able to find a lane.
Yeah, true. That's true. Although, they have like a big open swim section where they have a water slide in that one. And, but they have two dedicated lanes, though, for swimming. If you're swimming laps, but. If
there's only two lanes, then that's, you know.
Right.
A lot of lanes.
So here's part of the issue here, with Planet Fitness now. Now their hours are 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Me getting over there at 6 a.m. ain't happening. especially, you know, since I work from home, you know, I try to sleep right up until I actually have to be on call or something usually. I usually try and wake up with enough time to go jump in the shower, you know, just to get to...
I tried to maintain that whole waking
right.
up at the same time I had to, but now
right.
I'm spending a whole lot more time waking up, and I'm way too
yes.
used to taking a nap at lunch.
I'd love to do that. I really would. Now, the last 2 days, I actually went downstairs and ate my lunch down there instead of... last 2 days. Monday, I have a little freezer section in my little mini fridge. So I just brought my lunch and stuck it in there. And unless I went to the bathroom, I stayed up here. The last 2 days that didn't happen. I'm like, I gotta not look at my work laptop when I'm eating lunch because I really need the mental break. Cause it's been one of those weeks.
Done some trying to avoid my computer.
Yeah.
Why I'm over on my weight bench right now. I'm also, you know, when I'm not talking, I'm lifting weights.
There you go.
What are you doing?
Elevated barbell presses.
Okay.
There you go. Yep, so they're open 6 a.m. to 10 Monday through Thursday, and 6 a.m. to 9 on Friday. Which I'll never go on Friday because it's Friday and we're usually going to the store or something Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday are 7 to 7. The thing that made Planet Fitness really convenient is gone right now. And I don't even know if they're going to bring the 24 hours back.
Well, they probably eventually will.
I hope so, because that was the nicest thing. You know, I could finish the show. If I wasn't too tired, I'd grab my phone, I'd grab my Bluetooth earbuds, and I'd go and walk on the treadmill or something. Now,
right.
What I could do, though, is on the weekends I could go over. There's a Metro Park really close to me, and they have a trail that goes. I have been meaning to get over there, I just haven't yet. They got a trail that goes right down along the river, which is pretty nice. So I'd like to go... check that out. Although I'm not sure how much trail there will be because we've had quite a bit of rain this summer.
Picked up a hot air gun.
Into the fall. Nice. I need to get one of those. And the main reason I need it for is for my little PowerSpec i3 Mini.
I used it to replace the power port on one of my old Asus transformers that I had given to my kids.
There you go.
And it's been sitting waiting for me to be able to fix it for the longest time, so yeah. I got it fixed, but then I found out that there's a whole bunch of other problems with it.
Yeah, it usually is the way it goes.
power port fixed, but now the touch screen is iffy. And it's iffy on whether or not it's going to connect to the keyboard where your USB 3.0 port is. So the iffy connection there might be an easy fix. I might be able to fix that with some.
Let's get the show started.